Welcome to Dolly Shares, a show where Dolly Howard shares her experiences, thoughts, and emotions as only Dolly can. This is a pre-recorded presentation.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to number 75, pre-recorded Dolly Shares, coming to you from Dolly World. I'm recording this to be aired for the first time on Wednesday, May 6, 2020. Nancy Hopkins is the producer, and I'm Dolly Howard. It's my thoughts that you're going to hear. I've been thinking about a lot of things I wanted to talk about. And then yesterday I ran across this article that I thought, oh, yay, that's what I've been trying to explain to people. And so I'm going to read you an article. But first, I've been reading Q, trying to keep up with him. He's really posting a lot lately. Just want to start the show off with, where we go one, we go all. That's the way I live in here in Dolly World. And I want to give you a story spoiler. I think most of you already know it. We're living quite the story right now. We are living history right now. We are part of it. With everything we do these days, we are part of history. And I want to tell you the end of the story, which is actually the end, the middle, and the beginning of the whole story. God wins. That's the answer. That's the conclusion to the story. In this spiritual world we're living, in this not spiritual world, spiritual war we are living through, God wins in the end. So be prepared whatever way you need to be prepared. Some people probably won't like it. Some will be ecstatic, and some will say, God who? Well, I hope you find out who God is before the end of the story. But that's my opinion. You can live it the way you want to. So, one of the things that Q posted on May 2nd, 2020 is, what is he saying? 2022. 2022? I don't know. I have to go back to Q to find out. But anyway, on May 2nd he posted, nothing can stop what is coming. Where we go one, we go all. And another one he posted. They posted on May 2nd in all capital letters. Boom! Week ahead. It's going to be an exciting week ahead. Treason doesn't pay well in the end. And they're both signed by Q. I want to put this down. And where do I have Q? Here he is. I want to go down to May 2nd and see if he put the date. I put that because I had to type it in. Okay, I answered my own question. I jumped ahead for a couple years, I guess. Never know where I'll end up each day or hour of the day or minute. of the day. Oh, now I lost my notes. Oh yes, I need to read the angel card, so hold on while I open that file. Dolly Shears reads for you. Angel cards, here they are. It was number 3 that they had me pull. And it's Archangel Jophiel, Sacred Creativity. Archangel Jophiel is connected to the sacral chakra, and sacred sound for this chakra is VAM, V like victory, AM like Mary, VAM. Jophiel's energy is all about creativity, bringing in the creative energy. Jophiel reminds us, life is creative. Everything we do and say is an opportunity to choose a more creative way of being in the world. Creative power resides in our lower abdomen and the sexual organ area of our body. Visualize a beautiful orange light glowing in that area. Allow that glow to grow throughout your entire body, bringing creative energy to your whole body, energizing you with creative power. Breathe this energy in and through your body, connecting it with the core of you. Give thanks to Jophiel for this powerful creative energy, which means you can create whatever you want to. Well, I would say you can create most everything you want to. Because I don't know, there's some things I would think you wouldn't be able to create. So, speaking of that, that Michigan governor is really setting herself up for a hard fall. She is just pushing and pushing to see how far the Michiganders will let her push. I think she went as far as she could go. And I noticed that a lot of the Democratic governors are doing the same thing. But she's one among the worst because she thinks she can tell people they can't plant seeds in their backyards or their front yards. They can't plant food seeds, and they can't buy paint. Now would be a perfect time to paint their houses inside or out or wherever, but oh no, they can't buy paint. And they can only buy the things that she has designated at the store. They can't just buy anything they want to at a store. No, they have to do her list, what's on her list. Actually, the only thing they can do is smoke weed and have abortions, according to this bimbo. Isn't that ridiculous? These are things I have to get out of my system. I just have to get them out of my system. And then Joe Biden, oh my gosh, y'all. I think he is scum of the earth. But they've got him speaking on camera. And the man most definitely has dementia. Those of us who know about dementia have taken care of dementia patients. And we know he has dementia. The man has some issues. I actually almost feel sorry for him. Because they shouldn't be doing... No one should be doing something like that to a person who has dementia or Alzheimer's. And they're close. They get confused with each other. And he could have either one of them, but he's got one of them. I think it's dementia for sure. But seriously, folks, even Joe Biden, who I cannot look at anymore, his eyes have just, they've gotten so dark that when I look at him, I don't see eyes in there at all. All I see is black. Sinister looking black holes. And that's how I identify pedophiles and for sure, and sometimes the satanic people I can see, but I'm not real good at identifying them like I am pedophiles with their eyes. Just scary for me looking at them. Okay, that's all the things I wanted to get off of my chest. Let me save this. There we go. Okay, now I can put that down and bring this up. The thing I wanted to share with you all is something that I have been saying for years. It's about wait, first, I want to tell you where I got it from. I went in to the Cosmic Reality Facebook looking for who had posted this in there, and I couldn't find it this morning because so much has been posted. I want to say thank you for posting this link. It says, "Oh dear, Kentucky Representative Thomas Massie touches the third rail, reveals DC's biggest secret." And whoever it was that wrote this article, let me see. It's Lou Dobbs interviews Sidney Powell, the deep state, and the future of General Flynn. This is what's on the page. An important message from a special messenger. The great country of the United States isn't broken. I think these might be two different ones, but I'm not sure. I'm trying to see who wrote this. It was posted on April 28, 2020 by Sundance. There it is, right there. And what it's about is lobbyists. No, not just lobbyists. It's about, I'm trying to think how to sum it up in just a couple of words, and then read you the article for the explanation. Remember, it says, "Oh dear, Kentucky Representative Thomas Massie touches the third rail, reveals DC's biggest secret." It's about writing laws, the legislature's writing laws. Like the bills, Senate bill, House bills. It's about that. And I used to work for lobbyists. I know all about it. I tried to explain to people whenever the subject would come up, well, you're not electing anyone who writes any of the bills. You're not. So, let's get into the article. It's rather long. If you're not interested in that kind of thing, then you might want to just click me off. If you are, because it tells a lot of the things that go on, and you think to yourself, no, that can't be true. But yes, that is true. Here we go. With Congress saying they will not be returning to work next week, it appears Kentucky Representative Thomas Massie has decided to use the opportunity to expose Washington, D.C.'s biggest secret, something 99% of American voters do not understand. And it has a copy of a tweet here. Tweet? I don't know, whatever it's called, from Thomas Massie. If Congress isn't going to convene until the bill is ready to vote on, who the hell is writing the bill? You see? That's a good way to start it out. Oh dear, he's telling secrets. You see, Congress doesn't actually write legislation. The last item of legislation written by Congress was sometime around the mid-1900s. Modern legislation is subcontracted to K Street. Lobbyists write the laws. Congress sells the laws. Lobbyists then pay Congress commissions for passing their laws. That's the modern legislative business in D.C. Now, I don't know what is CTH, but it says CTH often describes the background D.C. motives with the phrase, there are trillions at stake. The process of creating legislation is behind that phrase. D.C. politics is not quite based on the ideas that frame most voters' reference points. With people taking notice of D.C. politics for the first time, and with people not as familiar with the purpose of D.C. politics, perhaps it is valuable to provide clarity. I think we all should know how the wheels turn there in D.C. Okay, most people think when they vote for a federal politician, a House or Senate representative, and this goes for state ones too, they are voting for a person who will go to Washington, D.C., or their capital of their state, and write or enact legislation. This is the old-fashioned schoolhouse rock perspective based on decades past. There is not a single person in Congress writing legislation or laws. Let me read that again. There is not a single person in Congress writing legislation or laws. It doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat or independent or I forgot what this other thing is. It doesn't matter. None of the people you elect write laws. And I bet you thought they did. In modern politics, not a single member of the House of Representatives or Senator writes a law or puts pen to paper to write out a legislative construct. This simply doesn't happen. Over the past several decades, a system of constructing legislation has taken over Washington, D.C., that more resembles a business operation than a legislative body. Here's how it works right now. There's an insert here from Fox News. It says, closer look with an arrow pointing lobbying Congress. It has a bullet that says, 1986, colon, $61 million spent, average $113,700 per lawmaker. And then another bullet, 2016, colon, $3.1 billion spent, average $5.8 million per lawmaker. And that's from Fox News Research. Okay. Outside groups, often called special interest groups, are entities that represent their interests in legislative constructs. These groups are often representing foreign governments, Wall Street multinational corporations, banks, financial groups, or businesses, or smaller groups of people with a similar connection who come together and form a larger group under an umbrella of interest specific to their affiliation. Sometimes the groups are social interest groups, activists, climate groups, environmental interests, etc. The social interest groups are usually nonprofit constructs who depend on the expenditures of government to sustain their cause or need. The for-profit groups, mostly business, have a purpose in Washington, D.C. to shape policy, legislation, and laws favorable to their interests. They have fully staffed offices just like any business would, only their business is getting legislation for their unique interests. These groups are filled with highly paid lawyers who represent the interests of the entity and actually write laws and legislation briefs. I worked for a short time when we lived in Lansing, in Michigan, for a national charity organization. And I worked with trying to get some legislation put through. But see, that was a national charity people organization. And they were paying out lots of money and typing up lots of papers to get a law that would help them, their organization, to be able to make lots of money and the people didn't know it. Sneaky type thing. I apologize, I had to have a drink right then. So, in the modern era, this is actually the origination of the laws that we eventually see passed by Congress. Within the walls of these buildings within Washington, D.C., is where the sausage is actually made. Again, no elected official is usually part of this law origination process. Almost all legislation created is not high profile. They are obscure changes to current laws, regulations, or policies that no one pays attention to. The passage of the general bills within legislation is not covered in media. 99% of legislative activity happens without anyone outside the system even paying attention to it. Once the corporation or representative organizational entity has written the law they want to see passed, they hand it off to the lobbyists, who rewrite it within the terms used when writing a bill. The lobbyists are people who have deep contacts within the political bodies of the legislative branch, usually former House/Senate staff or former House/Senate politicians themselves. As in, I better not say that. Okay. The lobbyist takes the written brief, the legislative construct, and it's their job to go to Congress and sell it. And remember, that's after the lobbyist rewrites the bill, rewrites the wording of how bills are written. So they rewrite the bill to say exactly what the person, the organization, is paying them to sell. Selling it means finding politicians who will accept the brief, sponsor their bill, and eventually get it to a vote and passage. The lobbyist does this by visiting the politician in their office, or, most currently familiar, by inviting the politician to an event they are hosting. The event is called a junket when it involves travel. J-U-N-K-E-T, a junket. Often the lobbying event might be a weekend trip to a ski resort or a conference, in quotation marks, that takes place at a resort. The actual sales pitch for the bill is usually not too long, and the majority of the time is just like a mini vacation. Not too long, it's maybe 2 seconds. Will you do it? Sure. Okay, the meeting's over. Well, no, first they ask, how much do I get for doing it? So it might take 5 minutes of negotiation. I forgot about that part. The size of the indulgence within the event, the amount of money the lobbyist is spending, is customarily related to the scale of benefit within the bill the sponsoring business entity is pushing. If the sponsoring business or interest group can gain a lot of financial benefit from the legislation, they spend a lot on the indulgences. Here's a recap. Corporations, and in parentheses, special interest group, write the legislation. Lobbyists take the law and go find politicians after they rewrite it to support it. Politicians get support from their peers using tenure and status, etc. Eventually, if things go according to norm, the legislation gets a vote. Within every step of the process, there are expense account lunches, dinners, trips, venue tickets, and a host of other customary financial waypoints to generate / leverage a successful outcome. The amount of money spent is proportional to the benefit derived from the outcome. The important part to remember is that the origination of the entire process is external to Congress. Congress does not write laws or legislation. Special interest groups do. Lobbyists are paid, some very well paid, to get politicians to go along with the need of the legislative group. Lobbyists are very well paid, like it says. When you are voting for a congressional rep or a U.S. senator, you are not voting for a person who will write laws. Your rep only votes on legislation to approve or disapprove of constructs that are written by outside groups and sold to them through lobbyists who work for those outside groups. While all of this is happening, the same outside groups who write the laws are providing money for the campaigns of the politicians they need to pass them. This construct sets up the quid pro quo of influence, although much of it is fraught with plausible deniability. This is the way legislation is created. So see, when you see Joe Biden sitting there and bragging about his quid pro quo, got the lawyer fired because he was investigating Biden's son. He's used to doing stuff like that. That's the way D.C. works. You give me this money, you do this thing for me, you fire this attorney for me, and you keep paying me millions of dollars in some cases, and everything's cool. Otherwise, you're not getting what you want from me. Oh, it's terrible. It's ridiculous. There are good politicians in D.C. There really are. Not all of them are filthy dirty, but you have to be somewhat dirty in order to be elected. That's the way it goes. So, don't think everybody is filthy, filthy dirty. No. It just is degrees of it, I guess, is how to say it. Some of them really do try to do good for the people. Some of the politicians, I mean. They really, really try hard to do what they were elected to do. But they're running into walls. So every time they take a step, they're running into a wall. So you need to pray for them. Really, pray for them. They need help to do things for us. If your frame of reference is not established in this basic understanding, you can often fall into the trap of viewing a politician or political vote through a false prism. The modern origin of all legislative construct is not within Congress. And here's something Nancy Pelosi said in 2009. We'll have to pass the bill to, well, find out what is in the bill, etc. So she wants to know what's in the bill. How much can I ask for? What group is it? So this one was said by Jonathan Gruber in 2011-2012. We rely upon the stupidity of the American voter. You hear that a lot. But he said that, and it's quoted here. Once you understand this process, you can understand how politicians get rich. When a House or Senate member becomes educated on the intent of the legislation, they have attended the sales pitch. And when they find out the likelihood of support for that legislation, the amount of money or gifts, they can then position their own or their family's financial interests to benefit from the consequence of passage. It is a process similar to insider trading on Wall Street, except the trading is based on knowing who will benefit from a legislative passage. The legislative construct passes from K Street into the halls of Congress through congressional committees. The law originates from the committee to the full House or Senate. Committee seats which vote on these bills are therefore more valuable to the lobbyist. Chairs of these committees are exponentially more valuable. So they get groomed more. Now, think about this reality against the backdrop of the 2016 presidential election. Legislation is passed based on ideology. In the aftermath of the 2016 election, the system within D.C. was not structurally set up to receive a Donald Trump presidency. No, they weren't. Not in any way. If Hillary Clinton had won the election, her Oval Office desk would be filled with legislation passed by Congress, which she would have been signing. Heck, she'd have writer's cramp from all of the special interest legislation driven by special interest groups that supported her campaign. That would be flowing to her desk. Why? Simply because the authors of the legislation, the originating special interest and lobbying groups, were spending millions to fund her campaign. Hillary Clinton would be signing K Street constructed special interest legislation to repay all of those donors / investors. And it's not just her. It's the politicians. Congress would be fast-tracking the passage because the same interest groups also fund the members of Congress. See? President Trump winning the election threw a monkey wrench into the entire D.C. system. In early 2017, the modern legislative machine was frozen in place. The America First policies represented by candidate Donald Trump were not within the legislative constructs coming from the K Street authors of the legislation. There were no mega lobbyists waiting on Trump ideology to advance legislation based on America First objectives. He didn't take money. He had his own money. He didn't need their damn money. And so, therefore, they had... Well, I'll continue. As a result of an empty feeder system, in early 2017, Congress had no bills to advance because all of the myriad of bills and briefs written were not in line with President Trump policy. There was simply no entity within D.C. writing legislation that was in line with President Trump's America First economic and foreign policy agenda. They don't know how to write bills. The legislators don't. I need a drink just a minute. Exactly the opposite was true. All of the D.C. legislative briefs and constructs were / are antithetical to Trump policy. There were hundreds of file boxes filled with thousands of legislative constructs that became worthless when Donald Trump won the election. Those legislative constructs, and in parentheses, briefs, representing tens of millions of dollars worth of time and influence, were just sitting there, piled up in boxes, under desks and in closets, amid K Street and the congressional offices. legislation needed to be in line with an entire new political perspective. And there was no one, no special interest or lobbying group, currently occupying DC office space with any interest in synergy with Trump policy. Think about the larger ramifications within that truism. That is also why there was and is so much opposition. No legislation provided by outside interests means no work for lobbyists who sell it. No work means no money. No money means no expense accounts. No expense means politicians paying for their own indulgences, etc. Politicians were not happy without their indulgences. But the issue was actually bigger. I had to take a little break. No K Street expenditures also means no personal benefit and no opportunity to advance financial benefit from the insider trading system. They're in a hum. Without the ability to position personal wealth for benefit, why would a politician stay in office? They make $40,000+ a year legally. They go in poorer than dirt, and they come out millions of dollars rich. Now, where does the millions of dollars come? How do you get millions of dollars out of 40-some thousand a year salary? The income of many long-term politicians on both Republican and Democrat sides of the aisle was completely disrupted by President Trump winning the election. That is one of the key reasons why so many politicians retired immediately thereafter. They lost their income when Trump got in. When we understand the business of DC, we understand the difference between legislation with a traditional purpose and modern legislation with a financial and political agenda. Lastly, this is why, when signing legislation, President Trump often says, "They've been trying to get this through for a long time," etc. Other things he says like that. Oh, and it's getting nice. Most of the legislation passed by Congress and signed by President Trump in his first term is older legislative proposals with little indulgent value that were shelved in years past. Hold on a minute. Okay. Example. Criminal justice reform did not carry a financial benefit to the legislative bodies, and there was no financial interest funding the politicians to pass the bill. If you look at most of the bills President Trump has signed, with the exception of a few economic bills, they stem from congressional construction many years, even decades, ago. Hold on, I gotta... Where's the rest of this? Hold on. Is that the end? Yeah, that's the end. That's how they end it. Let me read the last paragraph, now that we know it's the end. No, last couple. When we understand the business of DC, we understand the difference between legislation with a traditional purpose and modern legislation with a financial and political agenda. Oh, it was the last thing. Lastly, this is why, when signing legislation, President Trump often says, "They've been trying to get this through for a long time." Most of the legislation passed by Congress and signed by President Trump in his first term is older legislative proposals with little indulgent value that were shelved in years past. Example, criminal justice reform did not carry a financial benefit to the legislative bodies, and there was no financial interest funding the politicians to pass the bill. If you look at most of the bills President Trump has signed, with the exception of a few economic bills, they stem from congressional construct many years, even decades ago. So he's getting through important things that they wouldn't let through years ago. So now I hope that this gives you more of an idea on how a government rolls along on its wheels. It's just so corrupt, Joel. It's so corrupt. That's why I always say we need to just wipe it clean. Start fresh with fresh people who don't know a darn thing about even getting elected. We need to start with the babes. The babes who want to get into politics, but who have honest intentions and are able to keep them. When I was working for lobbyists, a young, nice-looking boy came in, and he was a black man, and he was just a boy. I mean, the boy had to be in his early 20s. And he was a very, very nice young guy. I would have voted for him. But he came in. He wanted to talk to my boss, one of the owners of the firm, and ask him, "How do I get into politics?" So I saw him leave, and the poor boy, he looked so downhearted, like somebody poked the air out of his balloon. I felt so bad for him. Even my boss said, "I feel so bad for that young man because I just had to ruin his view of what it was like to be a politician and help people. 'Cause they don't really help us. They help whoever pays them the most money. That's why I would never sign a petition and go to Washington with it and take it to my representative. They don't give a poop. They don't even know what's in the bill. They just know how much money they get from that group. Seriously, they have no clue what is in the bill. And when these bills are being typed up, you probably think there's one subject to the bill. No, no, no. They throw in something that has nothing to do with the bill. Absolutely nothing to do with that bill. But another group, another interest group, who doesn't have much money, and they're probably a non-profit organization, so they only have a little bit of money to give the lobbyists to get what they would like to have done for their interest put into a bill. Well, so lobbyist says, well, okay, you give me this amount of money and we will put it in with this bill we're working on right now. You'll have to remember this bill number and that your interest is in within that bill. So they got a bill for this restaurant. Restaurant has lots of money because they got restaurant groups and they have lots of lobbying money. So they get this lobbyist to say, okay, I'll write up your bill for you. Well, then along comes the bird organization. They want to write up certain land designated for their bird reservation or whatever it's called, wildlife center. And so lobby says, okay, you give me what you can, what you got there, what we agreed upon, and I will put your bird sanctuary, that's what I was looking for, into the restaurant bill. And this is will be the bill number, because you have to get a bill number. And this will be the bill number. So the lobbyist is making out on that bill because they got money from the bird group and money from the restaurant group. And there you go, they're making out like a bandit. The politician who takes it doesn't read it, doesn't give a poop what's in it, just cares about the money, gets the money. And the groups are happy with having a bill. So it's so not right in D.C., in politics. I shouldn't just say D.C., because it's all over the country. I mean, you see Cuomo doing his, running his mouth on TV. I think it was Fox who was having him on every day to do his update. And I can't even listen to his voice. He just irritates me. Because I know he's lying through his teeth. And you can know it too if you pay attention. If you weren't paying attention, but if you do, then you can know too that, hey, this dude isn't flying straight. He's not telling the truth. But anyway, that's one little teeny tiny part of how the wheels roll in politics. Absolutely not right. So I don't want you to be woken up rudely, I mean, without any knowledge whatsoever, and you hit your head and forehead and you sit back and say, what the heck? How long has this been going on? Well, long time. long time. I forgot what they said when the last real bill was written by Congress. I'm not seeing it real quick. Wasn't it 19-something? I wish I could find it. My eyes don't work so good a lot of the times. And today's one of them. Kind of cloudy. Oh, shoot. I'm not finding it. Oh, well. I did read it, and if you really were that interested, you could run the tape back. The recording, not the tape. Boy, that dates me, doesn't it? Oh. Sometimes, y'all, when I sit and I remember things, and then I think, oh, gee, that was just the other day, wasn't it? Oh, here it is. Item of legislation written by Congress was the latest. Last item of legislation written by Congress was sometime around the mid-1990s. But so I was saying, sometimes I remember something and I say, oh yeah, that just happened the other day. And then I figure it out happened 20 years ago. And I was still old then. Oh boy. I'm so glad I made it this far. It's wonderful being this age and in my position. And I don't have to report to the boss man every day. I report to nobody. I just go to God and talk to him every day. Well, anytime I think of something that I want to talk to him about, he's got to get bored. He's got to think, oh, no, it's Dolly again. Because I talk to him about everything. Okay. So, let me see, what time is it? Where am I? Oh, hey. That was an hour. Almost. It's 56 minutes. But see, I planned it this time. I usually say to you, I don't know what I'm going to say. Well, this time I did know what I was going to say, because I really wanted to share this with you all. It's something that someday I think it will help you to know. I mean, you might not give a poop right now, but someday you may say to yourself, oh, I remember when this was said. So, I'm glad I had opportunity to share it with you. Oh dear, I lost myself. Seriously, I lost myself. I don't know where I am. If I can find the... Oh, here's that. Okay, so for today, I'm going to say to y'all, supposedly, this week, the week of, what, May 2nd? May 3rd, things are going to start happening. Exciting things. But we've heard that for so many years. I get kind of, yeah, right now. But I have come to the place where I say, yeah, well, we'll see. That's what I say. But hopefully, we'll see some exciting things happen starting this week. We'll see. And next time that I do Dolly Shares, we'll have an update. If there is anything to update. Where we go one, we go all, y'all. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Dolly Shares with Dolly Howard. Thank you for listening.